as you have a seat. And tonight, before I get into the message, before I tell you what the message title is, I want to just talk to you for a moment. Sometimes what is said before the message, now I need you to get a hold of this, okay? So prepare yourselves, because God is about to speak to you something that you need to understand. Sometimes what's said before the message even starts, before the message even takes place, when you're in church and you have a seat, maybe we haven't even prayed yet, but somebody starts speaking. Somebody starts to say something. Oftentimes at this church, the pastor or whoever's ministering will start to encourage you that you didn't come to church to hear from a man or a woman. You didn't come to church to hear from the youthful or the aged. You didn't come to church to hear from this educator or this social group. You came to church to hear from God. And oftentimes, we may miss out on what God is speaking to us because our minds are in another place. But what is said sometimes before the message is just as important as the message itself. The reason is that sometimes God is preparing you. He's setting you up for something. God is getting you ready to take you somewhere. You know, in order for you to get here tonight, you had to take some steps to get here. You had to maybe get in your car. And before you got into the church, you had to get into your car. You understand? God may be getting you into the car before a message. God may be getting you into the vehicle that is going to take you to a place where he's going to deposit something in your heart. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, okay? So just hold tight. But God might be speaking something, getting your attention, getting you in a position or a place so that he can drop something into your heart that he wants to. Never miss an opportunity to hear from heaven. You already have all of God's attention. Let me say that again, because that's a profound thought. You already have all of God's attention. That baffles me. I mean, when I think about how many people are on this planet and how many people could be crying out to God at the very same moment. The fact that if I go before the throne of heaven, I'm the only one in the room with God at that moment. I don't understand how that works. I'm glad that that works that way. I'm glad that I can approach the throne any time, any place, any situation, that I can pray out loud, or I can even pray in my spirit and connect with God. That's such a privilege and such an awesome honor. We already have all of God's attention, but God wants nothing less in return. You hear what I'm saying tonight? God wants to speak to us in our lives, in our situations. God wants to speak to us in little things and in big things. God wants to speak to us when we're in church and when we're driving home. God wants to speak to us. God will speak to you in the nighttime. Maybe he'll keep you awake or he'll speak to you in a dream. God will speak to you through others, through people, through situations, through his word, through preaching and teaching. God will speak to you through just little things. You know, I mentioned my wife a little bit earlier. My wife is an amazing person. The other night, if you were here for our communion service, she talked about how she was cleaning dirt off of her shoes and God started to speak to her about cleaning up the heart and the life. God will speak to you in situations. Pastor Deborah one time was talking about how she was cleaning. And as she was cleaning jars. And God started to speak to her about the prophet Elijah and how he had the woman go and get jars and fill them up with oil. See, God will take your situation, your life, and you may think of yourself, you may think of your life as insignificant, and yet God will take it and use your life to make it your message. Tonight I want to talk to you about always being attentive. The title of the message, if you want to put it down, is Always Attentive. And that's why I wanted to give you that little prelude to the message, is that we need to be attentive to what God is saying. Just like when we were lifting our hands and worshiping the Lord and singing to God. That is an opportunity not just to sing to God, but also to hear from God. It's a connection. It's a communion. It's double-sided. You are wrapping yourself around God. You are worshiping God. You are pouring your life out on him. And God is wrapping around you and pouring out his life, his power, his energy, his health, his strength on you. And so let's be mindful of what God is doing in our lives. Let's always be attentive. Let's get ourselves in line with what God has to say to us. You know, one of the things about being a pastor and being a preacher is that, you know, we get to preach these great sermons. We get to hear the message. You know, we get to study these things out. And it's good for me to hear this because I need to be honest with you guys. I am like the most easily distracted person on the face of the planet. Okay? Ask my wife. She's shaking her head yes right now. It's like I could, let me tell you a little story. I could be cleaning in one room. And if I find something in another room, you know, that belongs in another room, I will take that item from the one room that I was cleaning, take it to the other room, and while in that room, I'm still in cleaning mode, so I'll start cleaning that room. And there in that room, I'll find something that needs to go to another room, and so I'll take that item to the other room, and there in that room, I'll start cleaning. Let me tell you something. The house does not get cleaned very efficiently when I clean. What am I saying? I'm saying that this message is not just for you tonight. This message is also for me. One time I attended a conference in New York. I flew all the way across our nation. There I was in New York away from my wife. At the time, she was pregnant with our son Titus. And you know, she had the two other kids with her. And I'm thinking to myself, God, what am I doing here at this conference? I mean, it was a great conference. We heard from God during that time. And I'm there during praise and worship, lifting my hands to the Lord, saying, God, what am I doing here all the way across the country? And God said, I needed to get your attention to talk to you about something. And I wonder sometimes, man, if I was just attentive, would God have brought me to this place to do this? God knows what he's doing. God knows how to get our attention, but you know what? If you are attentive, if you're looking, if you know how to develop your heart, then God will speak to you. God is desiring to speak to you. God wants to speak to you. God wants to connect with you. God wants to get something into you so that he can get it through you. God wants to speak to your heart. I like what George Washington Carver said. He said, I love to think of nature as an unlimited broadcasting station through which God speaks to us every hour if we will only tune in. Now that doesn't just apply to nature. That applies to our life. Listen to what he said again. I love to think of nature as an unlimited broadcasting station through which God speaks to us every hour if we will only tune in. What if we had the idea that our lives were a broadcasting station? You know, radio broadcasts are going on all the time. 24 hours. There's radio broadcasts in Spanish, in English, Korean, all the languages. There's radio broadcasts for Christians. There's teaching, there's preaching, there's music. There's radio broadcasting for the world. There's radio broadcasting for news. All of these things are always going on all the time, but you have to tune your radio and you have to get to the right station. If we look at our lives and the things that happen to us and the surroundings that God has put us in the middle of, listen, God knew what he was doing when he placed you on the planet for this time, in this hour. God knew what he was doing. God knew you would be at this place and in this time. God knew your situation. God knew your relationships. God knew what it was going to take to get you to this place. And therefore, God is speaking to us in our situation. Why? Because God doesn't want us just floundering, just trying to tread water. What do, God? Hopefully the current takes me to the right place. No, God wants to direct us. And therefore, if we can be attentive to the voice of God and we can tune our hearts into the things of God, then we can get the wisdom, the direction, the vision that we need for our lives. I like what it says. If you want to open your Bibles to the book of John, Gospel of John, the very last chapter, very last couple of verses there, John chapter 21, verse number 25. Interesting little verse at the end of John. Last chapter, last verse in the book of John. John chapter 21, verse 25. I've read this verse a million times, but I didn't really get the impact of what God was saying until I started studying this out. Look at what it says. John has just confirmed that he is the one who is testifying of these things. His testimony is true. Verse 25 says, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. And then he says, amen. Now, I've always thought of that as the miraculous. I've always thought of that as like the miracles that Jesus did. I've always thought of that as the outstanding things that he's taught, that he spoke, you know. But did you know that the Bible records that Jesus grew up? Did you know the Bible records that he grew in wisdom, favor with God and men? Do you know that the Bible records Jesus doing little things like weeping and crying? You see, if we can tune in to what God is doing, it will speak more than just a little sentence. It'll speak more than just a little word. It'll speak volumes into our life. He says there are many other things which Jesus did. I'm sure that includes miracles. I'm sure that includes signs and wonders. I'm sure that includes teaching. There's probably tremendous amounts of things that he said, but also the little things that Jesus did in each and every day of his life. Think about it. This is God in the flesh. Just watching him wake up and eat breakfast, you could probably preach a sermon series on that. Why? Because God speaks. Jesus is the word, and whatever Jesus did, he says, I suppose if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Why? Because if Jesus looked at a child and smiled on his face, that could speak something profound into our lives. The fact that Jesus said, let him come to me, let me put my hands on him, let me pray for him, it speaks volumes to us. Your life, God is speaking to you. Are you tuned in? Tonight, I want to talk to you about how to develop an attentive heart. A couple of things we're going to take a look at tonight about how to develop an attentive heart. The number one thing that I want to say to you is to live a life of listening. Live a life of listening. You know, I've heard that it takes 30 days to develop a habit. Anybody heard that? Take you 1 month to develop a habit. That means that if you can get yourself to do the same thing at the same time in the same way for 30 days in a row, that you can get yourself locked into a habit where it will start to come natural. Now, whether that means waking up and reading a Bible verse, whether that means before you go to bed, you read a Bible verse, you pray, whether that means that at your lunchtime you break out your word and you read something, whether that means that, you know, you have a prayer list that you go through each and every day, whatever it is. But tonight, I want to talk to you about developing a habit of listening. The Bible tells us that we are to pray continually. Prayer is not just us talking to God, but it's also listening to God, hearing his voice. Communication is a two-way street. And if all we ever do is talk to God and never hear from God, the hearing is more important than the talking. The reason why I know that is because are your words more important or are God's words more important? My words aren't more important than God's. It's God's word that counts. And God already knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. Now, he still wants you to ask. He still wants you to talk. He still wants you to pray. He still wants you to present your requests, your supplications, everything that you need. You give it to God. You give him thanks. You give him praise. He still wants you to do that even though he knows it. And yet, we need to develop the other side of that prayer life, that praying continually, by learning how to listen. Yes, we communicate, but then we stop and we listen. We communicate and then we look for what God is going to speak to us. It's amazing because God will speak when he wills. Anybody had a random moment where God just spoke to you and you were like, where did that come from? I mean, it's like God just, well, there he is, he spoke. I heard the voice of the Lord. I could show you spots on the freeway and on the roadway on the way home where God just got my attention. I was being quiet, I was just driving, and bang, God said, turn off the radio, I want to speak to you. It's like, whoa, you know? The shower in the morning, it's like I'm taking a shower, I'm trying to wake up, and God's talking to me. See, God speaks when he wills. The prophet Samuel was asleep when God called him. Think about it. Here's this boy, he's been dedicated to the Lord. He's in the care of the high priest of Israel. There he is staying in the house of God. And in the middle of the night, he hears God speaking to him. Samuel! Samuel! Now, Samuel hadn't heard the voice of the Lord before. So he wakes himself up. He goes to the high priest Eli. He wakes him up and says, yes, what did you need? Eli says, go back to bed, kid. I was sleeping. That's my translation, okay? He goes back to bed. A second time, the Lord does the same thing. Samuel! Samuel! The boy wakes up and runs back to the high priest. Hey, what do you need? Go back to bed. Go lay down. Third time, it happens. This time, the high priest gets a clue. He says, now when you go back, I want you to say something. Turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3. I want to show it to you in the Bible. This time the high priest Eli tells him, I want you to say, speak, Lord, for I'm listening. Now look at this, look at this. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Verse number 10. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. Did you notice that? God was speaking the same thing to Samuel over and over and over again. You say, yeah, but Samuel heard him. Yes, he heard him, but he wasn't ready to listen. Notice that God didn't say anything else. Samuel heard with the natural hearing, but he wasn't ready to listen to the Lord. And God didn't say anything else to Samuel until he was ready. Look at this. Verse 10. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Now this time something changes. Look at this. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. And then the Lord starts to speak to him, starts to tell him about what's going on, starts to tell him about the future. First word in verse number 11, if you look at the next word, is then. Then the Lord spoke. Why? Because now Samuel's heart was in a place. He was ready to hear what God had to speak to him. Before, he was not ready. If God would have spoken it to him, he would have woke up, thought, what on earth is going on? I'm just hearing this random voice. He would have ran to the high priest, freaked out, what's going on? And would have probably missed out on what God had to say. But it wasn't until this boy, Samuel, got up in the presence of the Lord and said, speak, for your servant hears. Lord, I'm listening now. I'm ready. Oftentimes when God speaks to me, God will tell me to go get a piece of paper or to get something that I can write it down or type it on. Now, I got to be honest with you. Let's be candid in this place. I got this message, guy, weeks ago probably. God started speaking to me during my prayer time about this message. And I said, Lord, that is so good. My goodness, God, I love this, Lord. This is a great message. You know what? I didn't write it down. I had to go back and I had to get in the presence of God and say, God, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Lord, I am ready to hear. And it was in that silence, in that time when I was ready, when I was writing things down, that God spoke this message to my heart to bring it to you. God wants to speak to you. God may have your attention even. You may even have a natural hearing ear, but you're not ready to listen. Do what it takes to get ready to hear from the voice of the Lord. If you're in the car and the radio's on and God starts to speak to you, turn the radio off. If you're at home watching TV, ain't nothing wrong with watching the game or watching, you know, that's okay. But if God wants to speak, turn it off. Go in another room. Do what you need to do to get alone with God. This is one that I have to work on too, okay? Remember, I said I'm not just preaching. I'm preaching to myself too, okay? If you're laying down in bed at night, hello, because we all love our sleep, and God wants to speak to you, get up. Right? Because if you're laying down, you say, okay, Lord, speak for yourself. And to miss an opportunity to hear from the voice of the Lord. Is sleep more important? Or is God's word more important? Ouch, I'm preaching to myself. Preaching to myself right now. But it wasn't until Samuel was listening that God spoke what he wanted to speak. It isn't until our hearts and lives are ready. We need to develop a life of listening. where we're always attentive to what God is saying. How to develop an attentive heart. Number one is live a life of listening. Number two is live a life of doing what you hear. Too many times people have come to me and said, Pastor Dan, you know what? I haven't heard the voice of God for such a long time. What is wrong? What sin is there in my life? Please tell me. And I just simply look at them and say, what is the last thing that God told you to do? Oftentimes they sit there for a second, and then you can just see the light go off. Bang. Oh, yeah. God told me to do this. Now, you know where I'm going with this, right? Because the next question is, did you do it? And most of the time, I would say 99.999999% of the time, they say no. Then I say, do it, and then come back and tell me if God speaks to you afterwards. One guy came to me, he said, man, you know what? I'm having trouble. Business has dried up. I had started my own business and it was going great. And business just dried up and we've been seeking the Lord. We've been fasting. We've been praying. Haven't heard a thing, Pastor. I said, what was the last thing God told you to do? He stopped for a second, thought about it. And he said, well, God told me that I needed to make a move and be a part of the Rock Church in this location. It was Pastor Eddie's church out there in Coachella Valley. I said, well, you need to move, brother. If God spoke that to you, did he really speak that to you? He says, yes, he did. I said, then why are you still here? He said, okay. So he moved his entire family to the Coachella Valley. Now, let me tell you what happened to him, okay? He knew that God had spoken this to him. His business had dried up out here. When he got out there, started looking for a job, got a job that paid, I think, double of what he was making in his previous job before he started his own business, okay? He was making double what he was making previously, got a apartment that was double the size of the apartment he was living in out here, and now they're locked into that ministry out there. They're blessed. They're moving forward with God. They're doing great things. Called me up and said, Pastor, I tell you what, God has just opened up the windows of heaven over our family. God is speaking to us again. It's an amazing thing. Why? Because he did what he heard. If you haven't heard the voice of the Lord in a while and you're wondering what's going on, try and rewind the tape a little bit. Find out what the last thing God was speaking to you about and take a look and see whether or not you did it. If not, do it. Do it. Let me show this to you in the life of Abraham. Turn with me to the book of Genesis. God may be patiently waiting for us to do what he said for us to do before he speaks again. Any parents in the house know what I mean when I say that when you tell your children to do something, you wait for them to do it. Sometimes patiently. Praise God. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, look at this. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. Look at that. The Lord had said. Everybody say, the Lord had said. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 4. So Abraham departed. Did Abraham do what God had called him to do? Yes, right? But the Lord said, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house to a land that I will show you. So Abraham departed. He started on the road of obedience. He got going. And it says, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now drop down to verse number 7. Look at this. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham. I want you to notice something. It wasn't until Abraham got into the land, walked around, pitched his tent, where God had shown him this land. He was on a journey. He did not know where he was going. God just said, get up, get your family, and move, and go to a land that I will show you. Abraham moved by faith, knows he's heard the voice of the Lord, knows he's not crazy, gets up, gets his entire family, even close relatives. And they depart. They go. They go into this country, and there, once they get into the country, not before, but only until Abraham steps foot in that country, he gets in there, starts to move around, starts to pitch his tent, then the Lord speaks. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. See, God wanted to speak something to Abraham, but he had to get him into the land to show him. And it wasn't until Abraham departed from the place that he was and did the will of the Lord that now it opened the door for God to speak to him, the next thing that he wanted to say to him. See, God wanted to tell him, I've got land for you, Abraham. I've got something going on here, Abraham. This is the place where I'm going to put my name, Abraham. This is the place where I'm going to raise up the Messiah, the Redeemer, the one who will come after you, Abraham. You're looking forward to him by faith. But God had to get Abraham into obedience, get him out of the place where he was, and get him into a new place. Remember what I said, sometimes what you hear before the message is just as important as the message you're going to hear. It's setting you up. It's getting you ready. I love it when people come to church, and after the church service, they get out there in the foyer, man, and they tell me, man, I tell you what, man, that Pastor Jim was on fire today. I've been reading all week long about that very same thing. Tell you what, I just get so excited about that. They say, Pastor, man, you're dealing with this. I've been dealing with that all week, talking about this. That's such a neat thing for me because I realize that God is setting people up. He's getting them ready. He's putting them in a position so that they can receive the word of the Lord and do what God has called them to do. Turn with me to the book of James real quick. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Can't talk about doing the word of the Lord without going here. James chapter 1. Verse 25. James chapter number 1, verse 25 says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer. See, people can hear the word of the Lord and then forget it. Come here on Sunday morning, by the time they're at the lunch table, they've forgotten what the message was about. God wakes them up in the middle of the night. They wake up in the morning. I know God spoke to me last night, but I can't remember what it is. So whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but look at this, but a doer. Do something with what God has given you. Do something with what God has spoken to you. Be a doer, but a doer of the work. Look at this. This one will be blessed in what he does. How many of you want to be blessed in here? Come on, let me see your hands. How many of you want to be blessed? Some of you guys don't want to be blessed. That's okay. All right? That's your call, your choice. I want to be blessed. And the Bible says that if you want to be blessed, this one will be blessed in what he does. Who is that? That's the one who's a doer. Not just hearing the word of the Lord, not just coming and playing church, not sitting in church service hoping that some magic dewdrops from heaven will fall down and hopefully everything's going to be all right. No, get in there and do it. Get in there and do something with what God has given to you. You want to hear the voice of God? Do what he says. Do what he says. So, how to develop an attentive heart. Number one is live a life of listening. Number two, live a life of doing what you hear. Final thing is know the voice. Know the voice. Often I get asked, how do you know God spoke? How do you know? A couple of simple ways to know God spoke. Number one is if it's in this Bible, God spoke. That's number one way. That's the easy way. How do you know God spoke? Is it in here? God spoke it. This is the word of God. And if you ever had a verse jump up off the page at you and slap you in the face like a 2x4, that's called a rhema word. That's the spoken word of God is speaking that word to you. You know what you do when you're reading and that happens? You speak that word. You read it. Read it out loud. Whatever it is, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. This one will be blessed in what he does. That's a rhema spoken word of God in your life. How do you know God spoke? If it's in here. How do you know God spoke? If it lines up with his character. Bible says that God is a good God who gives good gifts to his children. God is not going to speak death, cancer, sickness into your life. Somebody comes up to you and says, God spoke to me to tell you, you're going to die. You got cancer and you're going. Yeah. God didn't speak. That's not God's character. Now you look in the Bible, and sometimes in the Bible, God says, if you do not turn, things are going to turn out this way. But God is looking for repentance. The Bible says that God is full of mercy, compassionate, and kind. And even in his rebuke, God will speak tenderly to your heart so that you can turn back to him. It's the kindness of God, the goodness of God, which leads men to repentance. God will get in your face. God will get stern with you. It may feel like anger, but it's the passion of God for your soul. So does it line up with his character? Does it line up with his nature? Does it line up with what you know about God? How do you know God spoke? And as you continue to learn the ways of God and continue to learn how God speaks to you, there will be road markers along the way. What do I mean by that? There will be times in your life where you will know that you know that you know that you know that God spoke to you. For many of us, this starts at salvation. There may have been a time in your life where God spoke to you. It's time to turn. It's time to come. It's time to give your heart and life to Jesus. And you know that you know that you know that you heard the voice, and somehow you raised your hand. Somehow you came forward. Somehow you prayed. It may have felt like a dream, but you know it was real, and you know that God had spoke to you. Listen, that same voice that called to you is the same voice God will use. Find the road marker. God spoke to me this way when I got saved. Find the road marker. You know what? God, there was a time in my life God just spoke to me about my business. You know what? That's a road marker. And as you go through life, you will be able to draw on those experiences and say, you know what? God spoke to me this way before. And now in the future, by use, you know what I mean by when I say by use? The fact that you are getting acquainted with the word of the Lord, the fact that you're getting acquainted with your relationship with God, the fact that you are in a relationship, that now you will know the voice. You won't have to wonder if God is speaking to you. You will know that God is speaking to you. See, we're talking about developing an attentive heart. Number one thing is develop a life of listening. Second thing is develop a life of doing it. And as you do those two things, eventually you will get to the place where you know the voice. You'll be able to hear the voice of God in situations. People around you may not know it, but you're listening to God, you're attentive to God, and then you will know exactly what it is that you need to do. And move by faith. Ultimately, everything we do as Christians is by faith. It takes faith when you know God spoke to you to do it. Abraham knew it was God. The Bible says that Abraham, in faith, moved out of his country, moved out of his land. He knew God spoke to him. And yet it took faith. When God speaks to you, it's going to take faith. It's going to take faith to move forward with what God has called you to do. To be blessed. To do his will. To inherit promises. To live the kind of life that God wants you to live. To be the man or woman of God that he's called you to be. To be the husband. To be the father. To be the mother. The wife. The businessman or woman. To be everything that God has called you to be, it takes faith and it takes knowing the voice. Great scripture in John chapter 10. Let's take a look at it together in John chapter number 10. I wish we had another couple of hours. You guys doing anything tonight? No? John chapter 10. For the next 3 hours, we'll be in John chapter 10. Praise God. I heard four. Praise God. John chapter 10, verse number 4. Look at this. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. The Bible says Jesus is the captain of our salvation. He's the author and the finisher. He's the one who has gone out in front. He's blazed the trail for us. We're following him. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. Now look at this. And the sheep follow him. for they know his voice. Why is that? Because he's been around them. He's been in their midst. He's brought them in, given them safety and protection, provided for them. And now when he leads his sheep out, when he takes them out into life, the sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. They're in relationship with him. Look at the next verse, verse number 5. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger. Thank God that God knows that we are fearful and that we are fretful, just like sheep. Because the moment we start talking about hearing God's voice, somebody in their heart says, well, what if you're following the wrong voice? What if it's just you? What if it's the devil? I've had those thoughts. But the fact is, if you know God's voice, you will follow God. And look at verse 5, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. If you know God's voice well enough, then when the devil comes and starts trying to tell you something contrary to the ways of God, you will flee from him. Why? Because you don't know that voice. You know the voice of God. When your flesh rises up, you know the voice of your flesh. It tells you when to eat. It tells you when to sleep. It tells you when you don't like the way that person talked to you. It tells you when you don't want to work hard. Anybody else know the voice of their flesh? Right? Come on. You know the voice of your flesh. You will flee from it. Why? Because you know the voice of God. Jesus is leading his church. He's in the midst of his people. We need to always be attentive, to develop a life of listening, to develop a life of doing, and to know the voice of God. Now, one more encouragement. I'm going to wrap it up with this tonight. One final encouragement. Came across a funny little verse, and it just stuck out to me. In my studies, I've really taken a kind of a change from when I first started studying the Bible. When I first started studying the Bible, I devoured it, you know, like a chapter a day, 3 chapters a day, 5 on Sundays to get through it in a year. Got through it in 8 months and thought, what on earth did I just read? I can't remember anything. You know, I was like, I think I got John 3:16 in there and maybe some other stuff, you know. Anybody ever read the Bible and felt like that? What did I just read, right? Thank God that God gets your attention, starts speaking to you. Spoke to me through Pastor Jim, and Pastor Jim said, you know, Pastor Jim always says, I'm not a good reader, so I had to read slow, and I had to hear what God would say to me. Read the same verse for a week, just for understanding. And I thought, listen, if it's good enough for the man of God, it's good enough for me. So I started slowing down, started taking it slow, started taking it in, started chewing on it. During my study time, there was this little verse that I've read probably hundreds of times that just popped out to me. And when I was studying for this message too, God told me, go back there, open up your Bible, and start reading it again. And I read through it, and I had missed it until I looked at the last couple of words. Let's read it together. Luke chapter 3. You're there in John. Turn one book back to Luke, chapter number 3. Interesting little verse. Now, we're going to talk about two people. One of them is John, okay? This is not the writer of the book of John. This is John the Baptist, okay? John the Baptist was the prophet of the day. He came preaching repentance, came preaching the kingdom of God is near. Jesus spoke of John as the greatest man who had walked on the earth. He was he said, there's no one greater in the kingdom of heaven than John, right? And so he says, just sets up John as this great prophet. John was preaching this baptism of repentance. People were finding out what to do from John. Now, there was another man by the name of Herod. Herod was the ruler of this region of Judea, okay? Herod was a wicked king, okay, to just put it plainly and bluntly. He was sleeping with his brother's wife in an adulterous relationship. He was a murderer. This guy was horrible, okay? John gets an audience with this man, and he rebukes him for what he's doing. Brings the word of the Lord to him. Now, this is where we pick up the story. Verse number 19 of Luke chapter 3. Look at this. But Herod the Tetrarch, being rebuked by him concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done. So there was a laundry list of things that Herod had done that John the Baptist brought up to him. And remember, John came preaching a message of repentance, that you can be forgiven of your sins if you repent, if you turn from your wicked ways, turn to God, there is forgiveness, you can be cleansed. And so here John is preaching this message to Herod. He says, Herod, is not right what you're doing with your brother's wife. That's adultery. And then all these other evil things that you're doing, the murder, the usury, man, these taxes, all the things that you're doing. It's unjust. It's not right. You can repent, Herod. You can turn from this wicked way. God will forgive you if you come and repent. You can be cleansed. Come on, let's go baptize you. But look at what Herod does. Look at this. Herod the Tetrarch, being rebuked by him concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, verse 20, also added this, above all. Now stop right there and look up at me for a second. Look at me, don't look at the overheads. When it says that he added this, so he did something else that was bad. But then it puts the words above all. That means that the thing that he's about to describe to you, what he did, was worse than everything else he had just described before. Are you getting this? You want to know what he did that was so bad? Take a look at it. Also added this, above all, that he shut John up in prison. Now I thought, what's going on here? Why is that worse than adultery? Why is that worse than murder? Why is that worse than everything else that this horrible man had done? Here's the reason why. John was the prophet, and this is before Jesus had gone to the cross. Before Jesus went to the cross and the Spirit was poured out on the church, there was no revelation without the prophet of God. The prophet represented the word of the Lord to the people. The worst thing that Herod could have ever done was shut up the word of God in his life. Here's the encouragement for you and I tonight. Don't ever shut up or shut out the word of God in your life. Always have that attentive heart. Develop a life of listening. Develop a life of doing what you've heard and know the voice. Don't shut them out. Don't shut them up. That's the worst thing that you could do. The horrendous thing, worse than any sin you could ever commit. When you shut up the word of God, when the Holy Spirit's speaking to you and you just, nope, not going to do it. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to do my own way here. I'm going to do me for a second, God. I'll get back to you. That's the worst thing that you could ever do. Why? Because the word of the Lord, when you do it, this one will be blessed in what he does. Tonight, three things that we learned about developing a listening heart is to develop, number one, a life of listening. Number two is to do what you hear. And number three is to know the voice. If you heard the word of the Lord tonight for your life, come on, give him a great big praise. Woo! Yeah. I tell you what, that message was just as much for me as it was for you. And I'm just excited to hear that. God is good. God is good.